Welcome to the Let Me Bend Your Ear podcast. My name is Frank and I'm the host of this show. I discuss and review movies new and old. You can watch the show on YouTube and Facebook under the Let Me Bend Your Ear podcast. You can listen to the show wherever you get your podcast. Please rate and review the show on your app of choice. You can email the show at bendyourearpodcast@gmail.com. Please visit the podcast website at letmebendyourear.com. All episodes are available there. On this episode, I'm going to review Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So in the first of two episodes that I'm going to be putting out shortly, they have one major thing in common. They're either reboots, reimaginings, or sequels of movies that came out in the 80s. So the first one, of course, is going to be Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So this film is a sequel to 2019's Ghostbusters Afterlife, or actually it's after 2019, let me take that back. But Ghostbusters Afterlife was co-written and directed by Jason Reitman, who is, of course, the son of the original director of the original Ghostbusters movie, Ivan Reitman. So at the time that Afterlife came out, Ivan Reitman was involved as far as being an executive producer, kind of putting his input on it, of course, obviously through his son. And I believe it's episode 97 of this podcast. You can see and listen to my review of Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I ended up enjoying very much. I thought it was a fitting tribute to the character of Egon Spengler, played by the great, late, great Harold Ramis, who also co-wrote Ghostbusters along with star Dan Aykroyd. So this film, Frozen Empire, picks up a little bit after Afterlife. I think it's 2 years later. So if you saw Afterlife, the main parts of the story dealt with Egon's daughter and her two children. So they were living in New York. They end up having to leave due to financial situations, end up in Iowa, inheriting a farm that Egon had owned and lived after he left New York. And like I said, there's a family dynamic there. You know, bitterness over Egon just taking off and leaving the family, things like that. And you can, like I said, you can watch Afterlife and get a little more backstory there. But this new film, Frozen Empire, like I said, takes place 2 years later. So you have Egon's daughter, Callie Spangler, played by Carrie Coon, along with Gary Groberson, who's played by Paul Rudd, who was the teacher in the first film. And the two kids, Trevor and Phoebe, played by Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, and McKenna Grace. So as the new movie opens, they are in New York. They're living in the iconic firehouse where the Ghostbusters were stationed. And they are Ghostbusters. They're doing like the original ones did in the first film, fighting ghosts, fighting spirits, kind of doing that. So as we open the film, they're doing that. And they kind of show them not really making money. They're just kind of doing it, barely getting by, and having that issue. And then, what we get is the first of, or actually the best extended cameos. We get actor William Atherton. And when I saw the preview for this movie, he played one of the best a-holes in 80s cinema. So he was in two movies where he played a great a-hole. This movie where he was Peck in the original Ghostbusters, and of course the reporter in Die Hard, which he was fantastic. But he's back in this movie and he's the mayor of New York in this movie, which is fantastic. So of course he confronts this new generation of Ghostbusters, and basically you have Phoebe, of course, played by McKenna Grace, who's ghostbusting along with him. Of course, she's basically a female Egon, so very smart, very, you know, just like her grandfather. So, of course, Peck realizes that, of course, she's underage and can't be doing this. So, basically, because of Peck, she is sidelined. And let me go back a little bit. The movie opens from a scene in 1905 where there is some apparition that is seen and causes everything around there to freeze, the whole area in the firehouse, actually, to freeze. So when the original firemen were there, things like that. So that sets up what's going to happen later, why it's called Frozen Empire. I'll get into that as we get more into the movie. So as Phoebe is sidelined, they're still, you know, doing Ghostbuster things. And as the movie progresses, you see there's characters that are introduced. Two main ones, one by played by Patton Oswalt, the comedian. He plays a doctor that's, you know, that works at the New York Public Library, of course, which is one of the iconic locations of the original film. You know, with the two lions on the front. If you've seen Ghostbusters, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's great to see those locations in New York. I know they shot this movie, I think, in, I want to say, Canada. I believe it wasn't shot in New York, obviously, for budgetary reasons. I'm sure there were close-ups and things that were done in New York, but most of it was filmed outside of there. But as they are doing their thing, you start to find out about a apparition that is that was referenced in the first movie that you find out more about as this movie goes along. And I won't get too much into that because you can see that as you watch the movie. Because the plot is kind of predictable in that sense. In all the Ghostbusters films, you have, you know, the Ghostbusters doing their thing, finding littler, you know, cases with ghosts, and then the big bad. You know, in the first movie, of course, it was Zool. And then, you know, in the other movies, it's kind of had the same form of some kind of large thing that they end up fighting to defeat in the third act. So this is kind of the same thing in Frozen Empire. So what I liked about the film, so let's start there. What I liked about the movie is, I'll start with Phoebe Spengler. So McKenna Grace, young actress, she's been in, you know, she was in Ghostbusters Afterlife. I know her from Handmaid's Tale, which she's very good in as well. She's a young actress. She's very good. She was good in Afterlife, and she's good here as well. It's one of the best things about these two movies. So, of course, when Afterlife came out, that was after the female-led Ghostbusters, which I know is kind of a polarizing movie. Kind of, you know, a lot of people like it, a lot of people didn't like it, whatever. And then Afterlife was kind of tying that to the original Ghostbusters. So basically from Ghostbusters 2 to Afterlife to this movie. So McKenna Grace is great as Phoebe. Like I said, she embodies the features that, when, you know, you would think would make her Egon's granddaughter. And she's just good in the role. She seems to be having fun in the role. I saw some interviews with her. I think Ghostbusters was a big part of her growing up. She loved the movie, and it was something that was a big deal to her. And she's great in the movie. In my review of Afterlife, Trevor, her brother, played by Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, in Afterlife, if you listen to that review, I thought his character, nothing to do with him, I just thought his character was useless in Afterlife. He was basically a reason that they could drive the car to drive her around. He was like basically a girl. In that movie, to me, his character was more like a glorified chauffeur. Here, his character is better used. You know, the running joke here is he's about to be, you know, he's an adult now. You know, he needs to handle things. And there's a funny kind of sideshow where, you know, his mom is having him handle something in the attic. And, you know, in the slight spoiler, he ends up finding Slimer in the attic. So you get Slimer, of course, from the original movies. Anybody that's watched the cartoon, the movies, you say Slimer, you know who that is. So Slimer is definitely in this film, which is always great. And the original cast is here. You have Ernie Hudson, Zedmore. He is a entrepreneur now. He's still in New York, and he actually owns the firehouse and is kind of the patron of them, you know, continuing to, you know, ghost bust. And he's doing something on the side to kind of improve the situation that they're in, because the firehouse is old. The containment system is full of ghosts. So he's trying to rectify that situation as well. So he's there. And then, of course, Dan Aykroyd has his shop that he did in Afterlife. So he's running that little kind of shop in New York City. And he's doing, in this one, he's doing a podcast and a show about the supernatural. So, of course, if you listen to the other episode, and if you know Dan Aykroyd, you know, well, his family, he himself is a big believer in paranormal, you know, UFOs. In real life, he's a big believer in that. So that's something he's very passionate about, always has been passionate about. So, of course, his character, Ray Stantz, is basically, I think, kind of a, you know, exaggerated, not so much version of Dan Aykroyd. So, of course, he's still involved in that way. Obviously, he doesn't do ghost busting anymore. And then, of course, you're going to get Venkman coming back, Bill Murray's character, a little bit later in the movie when things start to kind of heat up. So with Phoebe's character, she's going through kind of a crisis. So she gets sidelined by Peck. So she's upset about it. She's a Ghostbuster. She's the one that arguably is, or not arguably, is the best regarding the scientific aspect of what they do, about being smart about it, about knowing about it. And the fact that she's sidelined because she's too young is aggravating. And of course, I kind of weave that into normal teenage angst, in the sense that, you know, when you're not a child anymore, but not quite an adult, and you are, you know, cast aside, kind of. So she's going through her own kind of drama with that. And then she ends up meeting a ghost that appears to her. So she goes to a park to play by herself after she gets booted. She's upset about it and becomes friends with this female, teenage female ghost who had died in a fire. And their relationship kind of blossoms there. And that'll lead to some things that happen later on in the movie. But like I said, her performance is really good. You know, Dan Aykroyd's always good. He can play this role in his sleep. Patton Oswalt is funny as the doctor, as the scientist in the basement of the New York Library. He's good as well. And then you have also comedian Kumail Nanjiani, who plays someone that comes to sell artifacts to Ray Stantz at his store, and it ends up one of those artifacts is off the charts for paranormal activity. It's a globe, it's kind of an orb with writing on it, and then that figures into what happens in the third act, and of course refers back to the flashback at the beginning of the movie as well, for the big baddie to show up. So, like I said, Phoebe is good. The performances are pretty good all the way around. One of the negative things that I've... Well, actually, I'll wait till I get to what I didn't like. But like I said, McKenna Grace is great. You know, you have Paul Rudd and Carrie Coon. They do a very good job. Their banter is great as a couple. These are some of the better things about the movie, is they've found a good way to have these new characters acted out and written in a way that you care about them. So that's important when you're kind of passing the baton from the original cast to a new generation of Ghostbusters. If these movies are going to continue, I don't know. But that part of it is good. The familial relationships are good. And like I said, you get the great cameo from Atherton as Peck. So what I didn't like about the movie, and it's weird because I've seen reviews online and they're all over the place. You know, loved it, kind of liked it, couldn't stand it. You know, the spectrum of reviews. So for me, and I watched the movie with my son, my 10-year-old son. He loved it. He loves Ghostbusters. And I think it's good for that age. It's funny, when we were driving home, his remark, because he doesn't like really, really scary things. So Ghostbusters is perfect for him because he likes things. And he goes, it's scary enough, but it's kind of funny and it's not super scary. So that's why I think kids, my son's age, really kind of gravitate to these movies, whether it's the original or even the newer ones, is because they're scary enough, but not traumatically scary. So that's why he likes it. But as I was watching the movie, and, you know, in the theater, watching it, enjoying it, and I like it, but I couldn't help but thinking, my issue was, as I was watching, I was like, oh, something's missing. Something's missing from the movie. And as I was watching, I really couldn't pinpoint it. It wasn't until after, when I started thinking about it more after the movie was over, what was missing. But I think, and this is probably my main criticism of the movie, is what it's missing. So I think there's two things that are missing from the movie. So the build up to the third act takes a little bit too long. Not that it's boring, but the thing that the first Ghostbusters captured perfectly was they were busting ghosts all through the movie. And then it led to kind of the bigger one. And it's actually one of the best, you know, sequences in the original Ghostbusters, is the when they finally get the business ramped up, and then they have the montage of them going through all these clients, fighting ghosts, funny things happening. That's one of the best sequences in the original Ghostbusters. In this film, you're missing that. So they do fight some ghosts. They have some kind of the same thing, but it's nowhere near enough where it's, you know, funny before it gets to the third act, where they're fighting the big bad and everything, all the stuff ensues. You get Bill Murray back, you get Zemmour back, and actually you get another great cameo. You get Annie Potts is back as well, who's also fantastic, and it's great to see her, nostalgia reasons, great actress. But the build up to the third act is not, there's not enough going on. And this leads to another criticism, which I read, which I actually agree with after thinking about the movie. There's too many characters. There's a lot of characters are juggling around. And they all do a good job, but there's just too many. Patton Oswalt is good. New Johnny is good. But it was a lot of characters they were stuffing in there. The female ghost that befriends Phoebe. There's just a lot going on. The people that work for Zed more, for Zed, too many. There's too many characters. And I think that hurts it as well and kind of slows the momentum of the film going into the third act. So, but the main thing that I figured out was missing that I didn't realize, you know, didn't really connect with it as I was watching it, when I was going, something's missing. The thing that's missing is it's not funny enough. And not that there are not funny moments in it, and things that I chuckled at, but these movies are missing the Bill Murray element. And not that it has to be Bill Murray, but one of the, like, again, going back to the original movie, one of the great things about that movie is it struck, and it's hard to do, it struck the perfect balance between the horror and the comedy brilliantly. And one of the you know, the secret weapons of that movie is Bill Murray. So what you have is, you know, taking the premise seriously, taking the, you know, the busting of the ghost via Egon and Ray Stantz's characters. But what you had, which was great, was you had Bill Murray's Venkman basically undercutting it, just basically almost as an audience surrogate, in a sense, going, this is stupid. You know, he's only there for the, you know, in the first movie, he's only there because it's a job where he gets paid and doesn't have to really do any work. He doesn't really believe in the ghost until obviously stuff happens and he has no choice because he's seeing it happen. But he was the skeptic and kind of the smart ass that kind of undercut it, so that the first Ghostbusters didn't take itself too seriously to the point where you're like, this is ridiculous. And so with him undercutting kind of the seriousness of the movie, it helped strike that balance and it made it enjoyable. That's missing in this movie. Now in Afterlife, it's a little bit different because they were telling a different kind of story. So I didn't notice it there. But in this movie, since it's basically going on its own, you've kind of set up the new family, what's going on, you've got them back to New York. It's really missing that element. And like I said, it doesn't have to necessarily be Bill Murray, but an element, it's not funny enough. That's what I'm missing from this movie. It's basically a watchable good movie. I enjoyed it. It had some, you know, good moments. It had, like I said, the acting is good. It's just, it doesn't rise to the level of being a top-notch Ghostbusters movie in the sense that you have the comedy. And I think that's why it's hard to revisit these movies unless, you know, especially if you have the original cast. Now, I don't know what they're going to do going forward. I know the first weekend it did well. I don't know if it's going to make enough money for them to see through making another movie of this. And, you know, with this one, it's like I said, you know, the thing is, it's funny with a lot of these, you know, sequels, belated sequels of really old movie, older movies or movies that you beloved growing up. I kind of likened it almost to the live action Disney films. I have this discussion with my wife all the time. She likes to see the live action Disney. I think they're all unnecessary. I've liked some to varying degrees. I still refuse to see The Lion King, but I just, they're not, it's not even a matter of them being bad or good. Some of them I'm sure are terrible. Some of them are decent. Some of them maybe even pretty good, but they're just unnecessary. And with Ghostbusters, now granted, I went to go see it and I'm a sucker. They took my money and I was happily to give it. But after watching the movie, I have kind of the same thought. It was decent. And it was, like I said, it wasn't a travesty. It wasn't, why did they even bother? But my question is it necessary? Could we have stopped at Afterlife and been fine? And the answer to that question, unfortunately, is yes. Because like I said, if this movie was better, I would have been like, wow, they're really continuing to make these movies entertaining and funny and all that. And like I said, it's a decent movie. And I think for, like I said, kids my son's age, and like I said, if you're really nostalgic about Ghostbusters, I think you'll like it. If you're nostalgic about Bill Murray and Aykroyd and the late Ramis and Ernie Hudson, then it's not going to be for you, in the sense they're in this movie, but they're a smaller part of the movie until the third act. And it's fun to see them, but I think, like I said, it's really missing that humor. So for me, if they're going to go forward, they're going to have to figure out, I would imagine that if they do make another one after this, I'm assuming, and I don't know, I haven't read anything, this is not based on anything other than conjecture on my part, that if they make another one, I do not think that the original cast will be in it. I just don't. And this is not based on watching this movie or anything that they alluded to in this film. I just think if they continue with them for the sake of maybe making a better movie than this one, they're going to have to pick how they're going to want to be. Is it going to be kind of like this movie where they're fighting ghosts and it's not as funny and the original cast is kind of off now and it's this new, the young kids and the parents fighting? Is that what it's going to be? It's going to have to, to me, go in a different direction. So to me, I think with the original cast mixed with the new cast, I think this is the last film that's going to be, they're going to be able to get away with, it's the wrong word, but really kind of meld them that way to make it entertaining. I think if you do it again with them, I think you're just going to get, it's going to be the law of diminishing return. So either to me, they need to stop here, or if they're going to continue, they need to commit fully to the new cast, forget the old cast, and just kind of move forward with however they think they want to tell these stories. So that's really my thoughts on that. And that's really the big drawback for me on this one, and will prevent me from giving it a full-throated recommendation, is really the humor is missing, and there's not enough ghost-busting in the movie. And like I said, there's a lot of characters. That's really some reviewers really harped on that part of it. I think it's valid, but it wasn't something that I really thought was awful, but I don't disagree with that criticism, but it wasn't just my major issue with the film. Like I said, I think that just the missing humor of it is what's missing. It's not, you know, I don't consider it a comedy really, when Ghostbusters was a horror comedy, like very funny, scary moments in it, and just a lot of fun and a great story. So based on that, I'm going to go ahead and give Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I'm going to give it 3.5 stars out of 5. So normally on that scale, anything under 4, this is going to be a qualified recommendation. As I said a few minutes earlier, it is going to be, if you have young kids, I think they'll enjoy it. You know, 10 and up, not anything younger than that, because there are there's some scarier elements for little kids. Not for little kids. 10 years old and up, I think, is fine. They've seen a PG-13 Marvel film. They'll be fine in this movie. And if you're a hardcore Ghostbusters fan like I am, you know, you can see the shirt here. I am a hardcore Ghostbusters fan. So it's fun to see it for that sake. But even with my love for those movies, I can't give it a full-hearted recommendation, because I think some people, like I said, and reflected in the reviews that I've read and seen, it's kind of all over the place. So I'm kind of in the middle, I think, of that. I didn't love it unconditionally. I didn't hate it. I liked it. And, you know, it was fun to take my son to it. That was nice. So it's a movie we both can see together. But again, just my honest assessment on it, I think 3.5 out of 5 is where I land on it. And like I said, I think, as I stated before, if they're going to move forward with it, I think at this point they're going to have to move forward, either not make any more, stop, or move forward with just the new cast, in either whatever direction they think they want to go, to hopefully maybe if there is another one, to make it really truly their own and do something maybe different with Ghostbusters and make it entertaining and fun, which is, I hope they can do. And if they do end up doing that, hopefully they can just inject more of that humor to make it funny. Like I said, because I found that really lacking and missing in Frozen Empire. And I didn't mention before, this was directed by Gil Keenan, and he co-wrote the first script with Jason Reitman, who directed the first one. Reitman didn't, Keenan did. He co-wrote the script, produced it, and they dedicated this film to Ivan Reitman. And so, like I said, we'll see where they move on from there. But like I said, it was fun. It's a fun movie. I enjoyed it. I just can't give it the full, you know, hearted recommendation. So again, I'm giving Ghostbusters Frozen Empire 3.5 stars out of 5. It's, of course, playing in movies and theaters now, and I'm sure within a couple of months it'll be available, you know, at all your, you know, all the usual suspects for digital outlets, so you'll be able to check it out if you're going to see it at home. But again, I'm giving Ghostbusters Frozen Empire 3.5 stars out of 5. And thank you for listening to the show. You can follow the show on X, Instagram, and Threads. The handle for all of those is at BendYourEarPod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and like the Facebook page. This is a one-man operation. If you're watching the show on Facebook or YouTube and would like to support the podcast, you can click on the QR code right up here on the left. Or you can go to the show's X page, which is at BendYourEarPod. Go over to the profile page and click the tip jar. This will help cover the cost of recording and hosting the podcast. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned. I said I'm going to have another episode coming up shortly. We're going to discuss another reimagining of a classic 80s movie, Roadhouse, that's starring Jake Gyllenhaal. So stay tuned for that episode, which is coming on the heels of this one. Have a great week.